And welcome to another edition of the E-Factor, brought to you by the Clinton County Chamber of Commerce and Clinton County Economic Development in Frankfort, Indiana, Clinton County, Indiana. Glad that you're with us. I'm Shan Sheridan, your host, and I'm the director of the Clinton County Chamber of Commerce and Economic Development here for Clinton County. We've got a great show for you today, but let me remind you first what the E-Factor represents. You know it by now. The E-Factor is the E-tributes of a community, all of those things that make a community a success. It's the engagement, it's the education, it's the entertainment, it's the eateries. Don't forget about the eateries. It's the economic development, it's the economy, it's the employees, the employers, all those things that we take for granted each and every day. But today, we're going to be talking more about engagement. I think it's an important word and it's an important opportunity for all of us as human beings to be more engaged regardless, to be more aware of our surroundings, to be more aware of the opportunities that God has given us and the opportunities that just kind of come natural. And then sometimes not so natural. There are things that just happen that you wonder later, wow, how did that even happen? Well, you know, I think God has a big plan and all of that, but we're going to talk about that today. Our guest is a young lady that I had the opportunity to meet recently at a wedding, and she is a videographer for weddings. And if you have had to be at any wedding lately, you know that if you don't have the videographer and the photographer, you're missing out. These are very important people, probably more important than the ministering at this point, because they do all those great pictures. Well, Kendra is outstanding at what she does. She does a lot of video. She is a student at Butler University. She's a junior at Butler University, and she is joining me today. She's from originally from Milwaukee.
Mishawaka.
She's not from Wisconsin. She is originally from Mishawaka, Indiana, and she is a junior, as I say, at Butler, and a marketing major right there. Kendra, thanks for joining us.
Shan, I'm very excited to be here.
Well, we are glad that you are here, and I really appreciated the opportunity to get to know you a few weeks ago when we had a wedding together.
Yep.
Here in Clinton County in Frankfort, Indiana, and over at Arborwood, which we always appreciate, the Shoop's Country Foods and all the folks at Shoop's, they just do so much great stuff here in our community. But we had the opportunity to meet, and you were the videographer. First of all, Tell me how you got involved in videographing, maybe?
So it's kind of a neat story. I had never picked up a camera before coming to college, and I'm a junior now. So this has been a very recent endeavor of mine. I bought a vlogging camera with some graduate...
Okay, what's a vlogging camera?
So...
I probably know this, but I don't.
The word vlogging comes from blogging, and then it's video blogging. Yeah. I think what makes a vlogging camera is the screen flips up so that It's kind of like selfie mode all the time. However, I actually enjoy being behind the camera most of the time, so I don't, you know, put it towards myself all the time. But basically, I bought the camera because I think I saw a video that someone had made on Twitter maybe of, it was like a summer recap, and I was just thinking to myself, I do not remember what I did last summer, and time is passing me by, and I'm forgetting these things, and I don't want to forget and miss my college experience. So I bought that camera with some grad money that I received right after graduating from Penn High School in Mishawaka.
Oh, wow. What's the mascot there?
We're the Kingsmen.
The Kingsmen.
Yes.
Wow.
Yeah. So I got the camera, and I made a summer recap video just like the one I had made, and I just loved it. It takes a little bit getting used to recording everything in front of your friends, because the first few times you're like, what are you doing? And you feel awkward pulling your camera out, and then it just becomes part of your life. Yep. And I had never done any editing before that, but I do think I've always kind of had an ear for music and how it goes with footage. I just had never like expressed that before. So I liked videoing, but I really liked editing. So then it was the fall of my freshman year at Butler, and Irvington is the new housing for freshmen at Butler, Irvington. And they had been getting lots of questions from freshmen and incoming freshmen about the dorms. What is it going to be like? And so they looked up, like the Irvington staff looked up some videos to see what was out there, and they found me. So then they actually contacted me, and they said, Kendra, can you make a video just explaining what life is like at Irvington? Because you're kind of already doing it. You know, I showed videos in my dorm. And so that was the first, like, paid video.
Wow.
And I was excited about that. And I was like, huh, I could do this for money. So that was my first, I guess, twitch of doing that. And then another opportunity presented itself was my sister's wedding. So my sister got married that fall as well, and she's like, Kendra, I know you're a bridesmaid, but can you just, like, record a few clips of the day? So I actually had my...
Got an inside track there.
Yeah, it was, yeah. So I had my roommate from college come with me. So I did all the videoing except when I was actually standing up there by my sister, my roommate was holding the camera.
Oh, wow.
So that was fun. And then after that, someone from my church saw that video and were like, hey, we're like kind of on a lower budget. Like, whatever you can do, we're happy to do with.
Well, you know, you really reach another E that we didn't necessarily talk about at the opening of the show, and that's entrepreneurship. I mean, that's very entrepreneurial of you to say, hey, I could make some money at this. That's what entrepreneurs do.
Well, you were talking about God giving you opportunities, and it was kind of like God was kept putting these things in my lap, you know, even what we're doing today. And so it takes initiative to say yes to opportunities, but it starts with God giving you them. And I really thank him for the way he's worked in my life. And I actually came to Butler as a health science major. I wanted to be a physician assistant. And it was a year after really exploring this field of videography and realizing, wow, God really has given me a creative mind. And looking at, I actually was reading Every Good Endeavor by Tim Keller, and he talks about the way you can serve God with your work, because most people aren't, you know, pastors or missionaries. We have secular jobs, and, you know, how can I honor God with my work? Well, it's by looking at the gifts that he's given you and honoring him with your gifts. So after my freshman year, I decided to switch from health science to marketing. And that was kind of the beginning of this really snowball effect of, again, more and more opportunities coming my way.
Wow. And you're making the best of them. You certainly are, because we met at the wedding. You had the opportunity to come up. I was, I think, finishing the marriage licensing, and you wanted to see what that was all about. I'm thinking, no one has ever asked me about what I'm doing about filling out a marriage license until Kendra came along. And Kendra's asking me about... What is all this about? And she said, oh, I just like looking things like this. And I'm thinking,
Just checking it out.
And the next thing you know, we were talking about, and mostly our faith.
Mm-hmm.
We got drawn to our faith. And, you know, that's what draws so many people. It's the attraction of Christ, the light of Christ in people's lives. And we always appreciate talking about that and being able to encourage people in the faith, and people that are not in the faith to, you know, take a look at faith, your faith walk. And we'll talk a little bit more about that. But I wanted to, you know, as we move into another part of this discussion, now you're videographing, you're doing all of these things outside of necessarily school.
Mm.
But as we move back onto the campus, you're now back on campus.
Yep.
You're at Butler.
Mm-hmm.
How are things going with all the COVID stuff right now on campus?
So the day before school is supposed to start, they released an announcement that the first 2 weeks we're going to be online. So we just kind of got over that. So this is the end of my first week, and we're doing hybrid classes. It's about 50% capacity, and I go to class about 3 days a week. But for the most part, you know, we're wearing masks and we're social distancing, but I'm so grateful to still be having a semester. In the summer, I was not sure if it was going to even happen, and I will tell you, when you're distanced from people for a while, it makes you that much more grateful when you can, you know, see people. Going to class makes a huge difference of meeting new people. And, you know, I feel for the freshmen a little bit, because that's when you're establishing your friend group. And it's, I think if I was a freshman, I would really, I would just encourage a freshman to do what you can to branch out. I know it's a lot harder than it was my freshman year when there was orientations and all these events going on. As a junior now, you know, I have my friend group a little bit more established, so I don't have to be thinking about how am I going to make my friends? And I'm already, you know, in these organizations that, although they're not meeting they're starting to meet in person, but still a lot of like our Bible studies. I'm on the dance marathon team. Those are still on Zoom. So things are still happening. They're just looking different. What I was telling you before, I realized that a lot of these Zoom sessions and things online, they do save a lot of time with travel. And, you know, there's pros and cons of stuff like that, but I've been able to fit a bit more in my schedule, I feel like, these days. And this is the first year that I'm in an apartment, so I'm cooking and cleaning, and yeah. I have more stuff to my list now as well.
Well, you don't also on Zoom, you can just push no video, and you can, you know, be in your pajamas or whatever the case may be.
I would be lying if I didn't say I wasn't multitasking a lot most of the time.
We're doing a lot of multitasking at the office when I'm on Zoom meetings or WebEx meetings or now Microsoft Team meetings. We're doing a lot of those as well. So, You know, the college experience is a part of the college experience is the engagement and getting with people and being with people. And you bring up a great point. That's being restricted. Certainly limited.
Yes.
If not restricted. How does that play on the human psyche of a, 18, 19, 20-year-old that's coming into college or in your junior and even playing on your psyche, not being able to have that engagement and that relational, communication, the touch, the be able to high-five, to be able to hug, to be able to have that. It really comes back to emotion, I think, a lot of emotional energy there.
Yeah, and God has made us such relational beings.
Yeah.
And again, kind of like what I was talking about, I think it definitely looks different for maybe a freshman coming in and maybe an upperclassman. But yeah, it can be very isolating. I think that happened to a lot of my friends this summer as well, especially, you know, we've been talking about quarantine. I think when you are just in your thoughts a lot and there's no truth that's, you know, being told to you, you can start to spiral in certain ways. You know, you think one thought that isn't true and it leads to another and another. And I think community and having these relationships, that often brings you back to the truth. They can see things in you that you don't see yourself.
Right.
They can encourage you, you know, to take the step or to call you out and keep you accountable. There's so many things that having a community provides for you. You talk about, like, you know, just giving people hugs and things like that. It's kind of funny. I'm actually not a very, like, physical. I've never, like, really been like that. And meeting my freshman roommate, Kylie, she taught me just to give people hugs. And I didn't realize how much that really makes you feel connected to someone.
Yeah.
So I know that, you know, in this time, hugging strangers is not recommended. But I've realized the importance of community and how much that can mean to you.
Well, and I think that too, you touched base on it a little bit. It's the engagement, but it's the comfortability level too.
Yeah.
Getting out of our comfort zones is very difficult for most people.
Yeah.
Is it more difficult for young people to get out of their comfort zone, or do you think it's more difficult for folks that's been more established and they just become more comfortable until they decided, I'm going to stick in my zone?
Yeah, it goes both ways. I see really kind of a polarization in that regard. I think half of our generation is getting so comfortable behind the screen. They never have to speak to people.
But was that happening prior to COVID too? I mean,
yes.
I mean, it's not just COVID that's caused that. It's the smart technology that's going on. I mean, everything's at your fingertips. Right?
Yes. I was telling someone, I was like, I kind of feel out of shape in regards to socializing. Like, it does. My thumbs are sore and my brain's foggy.
Yeah.
But then at the same time, we were talking about social media. I think on social media, I also see, you know, people being entrepreneurs. I see people going out there and, you know, living their dream, and that can inspire me. So it can go both ways. You can either hide behind your screen or hide in quarantine, or you can make the most of it and, like, learn from other people. But, yeah, I think our generation definitely lacks certain social skills because we're kind of on crutches all the time behind our screens.
So when you so you're saying that the screens are the crutches?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
And technology.
Yeah. Yeah. And in a way, now, I think the masks are kind of.
Yeah.
Because you don't have to make eye contact and you don't have to smile at someone, which leads to a conversation. You just look down.
I can't tell you how many times I don't even recognize
someone. Yeah.
And then I wave and I think, I think I know them, but maybe not. And then you can choose to wave or not. Well, not wave, I guess.
Sometimes it's safer
just to walk on by.
But that's happened to me.
But I think that, the comfort level, the comfort zones that we find ourselves in, everyone's different. Some people are more, introverts, some are more extrovert, some are in the middle of the road, whatever the case may be. But engagement is such a, I think, an important part of structuring or maybe sculpting our lives. Right. Because if you're not engaged, you think about this, and we talk about this often on this program, the Jim Clifton book, The Coming Jobs War, where there is three levels of engagement. There's the disengaged, the not engaged, and the engaged. Mm. And so we know that about 52% of the populace falls under the middle of not engaged, disengaged. And then not engaged is about 19% are the not engaged, and then we have about 26% of the folks that are engaged. And those definitions break down like this. The engaged are the people that they come to work early. They're ready to go. They're the idea people. They're the creative people. They're ready to. They love what they're doing. They're passionate. They want to see difference made. They're all excited. And then you have your disengaged that they're going to come to work just on time, maybe a minute or two late. They're not going to be the ones that are going to be. They're the middle of the road folks. They're going to be there, but they're not going to be. They don't want to work overtime. They don't want to do this and they don't want to do that. And then you have the not engaged, which are completely out of the loop, is that they're the saboteurs. They don't like an idea. So you know what? They're going to make life miserable until that idea is changed. So you've got all of that in every degrees of society, in every generation. What do you think in your generation what category do you think most of your generation falls into right now? The engaged, the not engaged, the disengaged? And I guess it depends on different levels of what you're talking about, but when it comes to just the culture overall.
I would say kind of that middle of the road. That's the disengaged.
Disengaged,
kind of the get in and get out, get your work done a lot of times. I see that a lot in classes. You go to school, you get your homework done. Yeah, you get through it. But I will say the thing that's going to make college, make school fun and engaging for you, to make it exciting, is making school beyond classes. It's those extracurriculars. Mm-hmm. It's staying after to talk to your teacher. Actually, just last week, my marketing professor said, if you have anything to talk to me about, stay on after Zoom. Mm-hmm. And I could have closed my laptop and gone about my day, but I just stayed on just to introduce myself. I think that's a good practice to do with your professors. Right. And it literally ended up leading to him connecting me with another company that he's going to introduce me to, actually maybe do some vlogging for him as well. So that's where engaging leads to opportunities.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, it is a lot easier to be disengaged. And I think that's where making hard choices is going to end up. But it's a cycle. It ends up making it more exciting for you, which leads to more engagement.
Well, it's easy to shut the computer. It's easy to say, I'm just too tired. Maybe next time.
Yeah.
And that next time doesn't come. We talk about, with our football team, we talk about effort, energy, motivation, and confidence. Mm. We talk about those four areas that if you put some effort in it, energy starts to come.
Yes.
And then you're driving that energy to motivate you to do more because, I just got up. I just did 10 push-ups. I bet I can do 20. So now there's a motivation, which leads to confidence, because once you complete a task, now you're confident that you can go do that again.
Exactly.
I can not only do it again, I can do it better.
Better, yeah.
And I can do it bigger. I can do it with more pizzazz, whatever the case may be, and that would be marketing terms for you, pizzazz.
Pizzazz.
So that's an old term, I guess, we've used back in the day. So, but, when we think about this, the engagement level, And just your example of your professor, what are some other, I mean, that was a great example of something good. What are some other examples that you have had when you've engaged, you've actually taken the initial step to go a little deeper, go a little further? What has been the outcome?
Well, one right off the bat is what we're doing right now, I would say is a big one.
Yeah.
But I think going into videography again, the weddings that I get, you know, I'm not doing much marketing besides putting the videos out there that I make.
Yeah, never heard of you until the wedding.
So, unfortunately. But, so each bride that I've had really has been a result of, you know, sometimes I reach out to them. Yeah. I had a destination wedding 3 weeks ago. You know, here I'm just a year in, and I find myself in Gulf Shores, Alabama, filming a wedding.
Yeah.
And that was, you know, me reaching out, and she had actually just asked me to do her reception because she was looking for someone local. And I said, hey, you know what? I've never done a destination wedding before, but I would love one for my portfolio. I'll do it free for you, you know, if you can pay for me to come out there.
Right. Take care of the expenses.
Yes, and it has turned into a huge opportunity, and, like, what credibility does that give to you? So sometimes engagement can be virtually. It doesn't have to be in person, but it's either, you know, willing to do the extra work, knowing, you know, the delayed gratification, knowing that something else is going to come out of it. You're really investing in yourself every time you make that hard step. I love what you said about once you do something hard and you accomplish it, it gives you the motivation to do something more. That's why they say making your bed right in the morning, you know, starts or going off a run. Once you do something hard, it just is going to propel you into the future.
Yeah. I think, you know, all of us have had our own issues of dealing with life. We've all had our ups and downs. We all have our challenges. You know, you're a 20-year-old young lady, all your world in front of you, the future ahead of you. You're a junior at Butler University. What are some of the challenges that you've had to face as a young woman?
Growing up, I'm the youngest of five children.
Oh, well, there you go. Great job. Or either that's
that,
it. Or you're the baby and everything.
Ask my siblings what that means.
I bet your older sister would probably say, wait a minute. She got to do anything she wants.
Yeah, well, they might say there's a little bit more leniency. But they're also, what I was going to say, there also wasn't as much money in the pot, you know, being the last one. Yeah. And so I always grew up knowing, going through school, and my parents didn't really talk to me about it much, but just knowing that, you know, Kendra, you better get a scholarship or two, you know, to pave your way. And so
you better become a video blogger.
Yeah, as a 7-year-old. So I think when you are growing up in a position where I knew I needed to work hard to be able to, I loved the quote growing up, work hard for 4 years or work hard for the rest of your life.
Yeah.
And that's what I really tried to do, especially in high school. So that was always on the forefront of my mind. I really enjoyed high school, but I also put my work first, knowing that it would benefit me, you know, more in the long run. I think in college, I have a little bit of, I wouldn't call it second guessing, but I think I had pressure on me because I wanted to be a physician assistant, and I had my life planned out. I had everything going for me, and then here I call my parents and say, I'm going to switch to the business school, which, you know, sometimes has the stereotype of you're dropping out of health sciences to move to business. I had to remember exactly why I was doing it, not care about what other people might say about you dropping out.
Right.
Not that people really care. People don't care about your life as much as you don't really realize. So getting over that hump of I'm making this change to better myself and to use the gifts, again, that I was saying that God has given me. But that can be a huge hurdle for some people, and it was for me a little bit getting past that. Even today in the marketing field, I don't know exactly what I'll be doing.
Yeah.
It does take surrendering my future. I had to do that to God. I'm kind of the type that likes to have their life planned out. So that was a hurdle getting over that for sure.
So we interject God in this program often, but you have mentioned God a few times. Let's talk in the last few minutes that we have here of the program.
Mm.
Your faith, and how does faith find its way into your life and into your decision and into your future?
That's a big question.
Yeah.
Well, I look at my faith as the absolute center, and everything else kind of falls into place after that.
It's your worldview.
Yeah, it's a lens. It's, yes. So when you believe that God is completely sovereign over the entire world, and that he has plans that exactly for me,
amen,
it changes the way you look at opportunities, changes the way you look at trials, changes the way you look at the way the world is going these days. And so my faith causes me to want to glorify God with my life by saying yes to opportunities, by trying to, you know, do these E's that you're talking about. Mm-hmm. I don't want to waste my life. Ultimately, that means glorifying God with my life. Mm-hmm. And John Piper has the book, Don't Waste Your Life, and he talks about, you know, God is most glorified when we are most satisfied in him. And that can be, we can be satisfied in God by enjoying his good gifts. And so looking at life through optimism, the lens of optimism, we were talking about this before, it's the world is happening and we can't do a lot to change it. But the way that you view what's coming into your life can change so, so much. And besides that, I think I'm just so grateful for the place that God has put me. We were talking about just the way that this culture has been going these days, and I'm still so blessed to have been born into this country. We are the most blessed generation in the most blessed country, and waking up every morning knowing you have a purpose, that God has put you here for a reason, and seeking to glorify God in every day, it's what's going to get you through the rest of your life.
Yeah, absolutely. And I love what you said, Kendra, about you had to make a tough decision about changing your major.
Yeah.
But you recognized, something that's sometimes we miss. You recognize that God gave you a creative side, a creative spirit.
Mm.
And why not use that? And you could possibly have used that in health sciences.
Yeah.
I'm sure you could use it in health sciences, and you might still use it in health sciences. Your parents may say, yeah, she's going to eventually. No. But you recognize there's a creative side that God, and I always tell people this, I said, just remember, the one that gave you, the one that gave you creativity is the creator.
Ultimate creator, yes.
He's the ultimate creator. He's the one that gave you that creativity. So when you start thinking on that bigger picture, then what we can create is really beyond, I mean, there is no ceiling of what God can put in you to create. So the opportunity for you to recognize that at such a young age is so important, because many people can go, you know, there's people that want to be artists, or people that want to, you know, be musicians or whatever the case may be, but they go, well, I just didn't get the break, or I don't do, you know, play your music. Paint your blank canvas and paint it with everything that's within you, because you just never know. But then also be engaged in this world. I think so often we take the victim mentality and not recognize that we really, you know, we've been pretty victorious, as you mentioned, here in this country. We've been blessed, and so I don't think that we take enough advantage of that attitude that we can have, and understanding that God's given you that creativity. I really appreciate that statement, because I think that's important. And I think it's important for young people to recognize what is that. But I always tell young people too, said, look, get a paycheck. Find a way to make money so that can fuel your passion and fuel those dreams, because, you know, we don't need any more people living in the basement of their parents. We need people to go out, be a part of the solution, be a part of the economy. But, you know, don't let the paycheck, you know, defer or deter you from living out your passion as well, because some people get enamored with stuff and you forget the creative side, right?
Yes.
Well,
completely agree.
I think that you've been great. I've been dragging you around for the last 2 hours here in Clinton County. I appreciate the opportunity. We're going to be working together on a project, and so I'm excited about that.
Me too.
By the way, Kendra Ladig is a fantastic videographer. She does blogging as well.
Yes.
You have podcasts in? And
I'm on YouTube. Okay. My last name's spelled L-A-I-D-I-G. Okay. So, and so, my company is Covenantal Films, which that's the covenant relationship between me and the client, between God and the Israelites, and between man and wife, of course.
Amen, amen. And don't forget about Israel. That's a great covenant, because that got us in the covenant. So we praise God for that. Of course, Jesus did. Well, so don't forget, this is Kendra Laidig, L-A-I-D-I-G.
Correct.
And you can catch her with Covenant Films.
Covenantal Films,
Covenantal Films, all right. Not Continental, but Covenantal Films, and she will take care of it. I'm telling you, if you have a wedding coming up, if you have a project, make sure you reach out to Kendra. You can give us a call at the chamber, 765-654-5507, or email me at Shan, S-H-A-N, at ccinchamber.org, or look us up on the web, discoverclintoncounty.org or .com. It'll get you there either way. So we appreciate today you being a part of the program. Remember, you might be the E-factor in someone else's life. You might be the encouragement. You might be the empowerment. You might be the educator. You might even be an employer. You might have that entrepreneurial skill that may help someone else. But most of all, you may be the answer to someone else's prayer. Remember that as you smile and do God's work. God bless you. We'll see you next time.